ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Old Bet Movie Reviews. I'm Dave. That's Scott. We are here to review today Metropolis, 1927 classic by Fritz Lang. One of the writers was Thea von Harbo, and Fritz Lang was uncredited. I have a DVD somewhere. My DVD is probably maybe an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Evidently, they found some footage.
Lots of footage.
When they initially released this movie, it failed miserably at the theater.
Really?
They went back immediately and edited it, cut it down to time so people would sit in the theater. They still didn't make the money back. They said it was whatever German currency was back there. It wasn't francs, it was Deutschmarks, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I'd say it was 5 million.
Wow.
It was some ungodly amount of money.
It shows.
At the time. And Fritz Lang had a vision.
Oh, yeah, he had a vision.
For years, everybody thought they just, the editing, they thought they just lost all of the recording. There was nothing left. In 2010, they found in Argentina a 16 millimeter of evidently full length or almost full length movie. They cleaned it up, and I think that's some of the stuff that we were watching. And that wound up being, 3 hours?
It was 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
I can tell where stuff was cut in, because we went from a really nice restoration. Beautiful restoration. I mean, it looked like it was shot today to something that clearly looked 100 years old and was probably so degraded that's the best they could do.
That's what they said. It was a 16 millimeter at the time. Whatever millimeters that they had.
35 or whatever it is.
Get it to fit. They had to clean it up and fit. It works really good. I mean, for what they had, they did really
it does.
Good. I also found two more versions on YouTube. I don't know how much, because I was not going to sit there and start watching it again right after I finished it.
No.
There's two more versions. One's a 3-hour version and one's almost 4 hours.
Oh my God.
So I don't know how long I was reading, trying to find out exactly how long the original version was.
This is crazy.
The footage wasn't all of it. It was just like a much more complete cut.
Yeah.
So I don't know which is which. I don't know if they found more. All I've been able to do is find like the 2010 when they found that.
Right. Well, here's.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, my thoughts on that is, what I watched was 2.5 hours. And I'm going to tell you, I could have taken an hour out of it and still told the same story and still had the same impact easily. Yeah. This is a very bloated movie, maybe because they put that stuff in. I don't know. I think it just needed to move much faster. But a lot of that has to do with, folks, this is a silent film. So depending on where you watch it, you're going to have a different soundtrack going behind it. You don't have Foley sounds. You don't have sounds of feet walking or things happening and sound effects. Right. There's no sound effects. There's no dialogue. You get a card that gives you one sentence to sum up what you know was a paragraph worth of things that I really wanted to hear. So at times I felt like I'm missing something. Something
that's
is
the
a miss.
Translation from German to English.
Correct. Correct.
A little difficult.
Yeah. But that being said, I did have to take a couple days to watch it, and I made my own soundtrack. I started playing Pink Floyd's The Wall. I thought, why not grab another dystopian movie soundtrack? Right. And it oddly works really, really fucking well. But Pink Floyd in the background works pretty much anywhere. So Yeah, so it doesn't matter. It just put some nice, good, you know, I could have thrown on some John Williams soundtracks or something like that, and it would have actually been good. That was happy music on Tubi. This is not a happy movie.
Tubi had, that music is way too happy. This is dystopian. I've never heard that kind of music associated with this. I've watched my version one time many years ago. Yeah. I want to say they put in a few sounds, like when the people are going back and forth with the what, you know, dials. You hear them going zing, zing, zing. You know, there's like
that would be cool.
Not overly done, but enough for you to go, oh, that's okay. That's kind of cool. That's kind of neat. I didn't understand some of the mechanics. Of whatever the hell they were doing with their machines.
You know, but it was 1927. They came from a different mindset of what, you know, because we look at it like, this is ridiculous. But, dude, these sets. Okay, so let's roll back. This is a futuristic movie set in God knows when. This massive city of Metropolis focuses around the story of a young man and his father who runs the city. Right. But the young man falls in love with somebody from the other side of the tracks. And this movie... below the city, where all the workers who keep the city running, to keep the rich in their lifestyle, this movie is swinging its message loud and clear right off the bat.
My first text to Scott was, "What is this commie bullshit?"
Oh, I know. It's like, wow.
But the message starts getting clearer too.
Yes.
That even some of those poor people aren't what they're appearing to be. You know, that doctor, that scientist, he was just looking to cause trouble.
I love this. I love this guy. He's like, give me 24 hours and I'll make her indistinguishable from human. It's like, wow, they really thought science was going to really go, because we still ain't there, guys.
You look at him, you ain't Japanese. You can't do that. Basically, the guy was making a sex doll.
He was. For the city's overseer, and that's what he was, the overseer, the dictator, his dead wife, whose name was Hell. There's so much symbolism in this movie. We have Maria, who is leading the rebellion underneath.
Harry.
Yes. We have the sacred whore of Babylon, which was Mary's double.
Yeah, the machine. Mary was brain swiped into.
Wow. I mean,
what a great piece of editing.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I was watching that. I had to actually go back and watch that again because I'm looking at it like, how did they do that in 1927?
It was amazing.
That makeup on that actress as the robot. I'm assuming Brigitte Helm was also the robot. I'm just assuming. Yeah. She gets up and walks and moves. She's obviously blind because of the stuff that they've got, on her. But she just moves so well in it.
Yes.
You know? And then I'm sitting there looking at it. Even when they did the close-up, I'm like, okay, that doesn't look like a bodysuit. I think they painted her. I think that's makeup on her. And then I think they have prosthetics on her, like partially.
Oh, yeah.
Painted up partially more, and I'm just looking at it like, oh my god. But I gotta just say one thing. The sexy vixen dance didn't do anything for me. I just started laughing. I'm sure in the 1927 that theater was going crazy. But for me, I was just like, it's a great costume, Brigitte.
What
not
costume?
Being sexy.
Her two little pasties. Yeah, it was the most awkward thing I have ever seen. And the over-the-top reactions from the men. But you know what? I think it was supposed to be that way.
I think it was
supposed to be that way to show this is the machine. This is interesting because here we have a machine that was created.
I didn't think of the machine aspect of it.
And her design was to pretty much destabilize everything.
Right.
And be a sex doll for the overseer. But he sent her to destroy the workers. you know, because they were below. This was Scrooge, man. This is a prototype, well, not a prototype, but this is a takeoff of Scrooge in many ways.
This movie, I was watching it, and I do watch the news, and I don't like to get political on this show. I mean, Scott and I do talk politics every once in a while. We agree, we disagree, we get along, we love each other. But this sometimes. Movie now, I'm watching, and I'm like, holy shit, this movie could have been made now, today. Mm-hmm. And it's volumes of the, well, I'm going to cause, as a government, which is what this overseer guy was, which mm-hmm. is the character Alfred Abel, was Johann Fredersen. He's basically the government of Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
Causing trouble for the people that are actually doing the work. Sound familiar yet? Mm-hmm. I'm going to cause all kinds of trouble. Get you to revolt. So I have a reason to call the army to try and crush you down.
Well, doesn't that sound familiar?
And I'm watching this like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This literally could have been written today.
Well, that's just it.
This has been going on forever.
Yes.
I mean, I know that. Yes. I know that.
Yeah. But that's the same thing.
I looked at that and I was like, shit, back in 1927, they were doing this shit.
Yeah, and look what happened. This is coming out of Germany in 1927.
The rich people would figure it out.
Yeah. But look at Germany. This came out in 1927. And just 20 years later, less than 20 years later, they went full on Metropolis. And
this was after World War One. This took mm-hmm. place between World War One and World War Two, this movie. Fritz Lang was, you know, I've heard Fritz Lang. I've seen snippets of some of his movies here and there. Watching this movie, knowing that it failed miserably at the theater, this guy was a freaking genius.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He really was. He was doing stuff with special effects in the camera.
Dude.
He was the Orson Welles of 1920s. Whereas Orson Welles, when he came in and did
Citizen Kane.
I say the quote. Rosebud. Citizen Kane. That was his Metropolis. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This was absolutely, to watch it, I think I texted you and said, this is visually stunning.
Oh, dude, it is beautiful.
The story, but it's visually stunning.
When they show the city and they show all the levels of roads and there are airplanes flying through the city,
mm-hmm.
I am in shock at how good this looks. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Everything is there. I'm just in shock over the whole thing being out of the 20s. It's mm-hmm. wow.
The story does start making sense for me. I know that I was a little busy doing some things here and there, but when I really sat down and really just focused in on it, I caught up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even had I just walked in on the movie where I really started focusing, I would have caught up and figured out what was going on real quick. Good guy, bad guy, what the motivation is. I thought it was interesting, all of the religious iconography.
Oh my God, iconography? Yeah.
Iconography, thank you.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise. For that to be in this movie, Germany, 1927, Fritz Lang must have been either very Christian or very open to religion, because it wasn't just Christian ideas. I think he threw in some...
Well, right off the bat, we see the machinery turn into the god Moloch, which is a Canaanite god, which demands sacrifice. So how fitting to have the god Moloch, people being sacrificed. This movie is so full of metaphor and allegory. It's just, it's nuts.
Yeah. And they had, you froze up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, keep talking though, keep talking.
Okay.
It's good.
The upside down star, yes. Over the robot was, I sent you the image. I think we need to drop that in here, what I'm saying.
Yes,
that.
Yeah, because definitely.
That image was, to see that when he spreads the curtains and you see her sitting there and that, it's there. It's, you know, like, oh my God, that's, you don't get much more of a negative. Had it been turned up the other way, I'd have been like, oh, she's the good guy. She's okay. This is cool. It's turned upside down. You know, she's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, she's good at the bad guy.
Right. Right.
Just amazing. Just like I said, visually stunning. The story really has a payoff. I was very happy with the way the story pays off in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, I was afraid.
And where I thought this story was going to go, I honestly thought the people that I was rooting for were going to die.
Because
I initially thought, okay, the girl that initially gets captured, I'm like, shit, that's Maria. Oh,
I know.
And then you see her face, and I was like, oh, no, that's not her.
That girl, that was, like, let's part, talk about that. Let's talk about her a second. Go the ahead. Actress who played Maria. She plays two roles, the robot,
right,
and, you know, Dark Maria and Light Maria.
Nice Maria.
She changes so much between the roles.
When
she is evil, she moves. That's when she does the weird moves, yeah, the weird dance.
Her shoulders go up. And you're right. I didn't think about the dance and her being a robot.
It was so bizarre, dude.
Now it makes sense. Now I have no problem with that dance. Right.
It's still bizarre.
Now I have zero problem with that dance, knowing that, fuck, right, she was a robot. She has no idea how to dance sexy. She's imitating it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that seems even better now in my head.
What really sells that, though, is the audience during the dance. The men are going crazy. And what you're seeing... is she is using as the representation of the Whore of Babylon. She comes in riding on a dragon of seven heads representing the seven deadly sins. And they do show all of that.
I know.
It's just so in your face. And it's like, there's so much religion and weird stuff thrown in here. It's,
all shit to look out for, folks. Just let you know.
This is a hard movie to watch just because it's missing things that we're used to. I recommend watching this because this is one of those things. This is like Kurosawa. You have to go watch the things that set up everything else. This is a pivotal piece of cinema. As like I told you, I'm going to have a hard time getting through this. Once I change the music, it's smooth sailing. So that makes a difference.
As soon as I put away the Tubi version, because that fucking music didn't match Tubi. I love you guys, but you need to find
that version's bad, man.
You need to find another version of different music. The one I found on YouTube had good music. Some of it wasn't all the classic music that I'm used to, but it was almost like somebody went in and wrote a score that was like, I'm going to be this, but not exactly. I'm going to give it a little twist. And the music flowed really well with the imagery, I thought. So find
that's good.
You got to find some almost melancholy music.
Yes.
That peps up when there's a happy moment going on and then comes back down when the melancholy is going on. It's so
good. It can't be all happy.
I shake that dude's hand. I was so pissed.
Oh,
the sun. Yeah. I just saved your entire city, your life, your daughter, your son.
The Messiah. The Messiah. They called him the mediator.
The mediator was the Messiah. Was the kid who came in between Mary and the devil, or God and the devil, which she was playing the goddess part. She wasn't playing so much a god role. She was playing a goddess part.
Mm-hmm.
And she had she basically sacrificed herself.
Yeah.
You know, in a very real sense. Her evil side was destroyed, and she came up an extra step. I mean,
Lots of symbolism here, man, this is a smart movie, folks,
the more I'm thinking about it, the more, because I was thinking about this all day, like stuff here and there,
yeah,
but sitting here talking to somebody that saw it, like with you, it's like pulling it out more like, oh my God, yeah, oh my God, oh my God, there's this and there's that. The Moloch, the man in the machine, when the guy, the light comes on, he's got to twist up the arm
yeah.
here. The light comes on over here, he's got to twist it there.
Makes I don't know no sense.
The machinery was working that way. I don't know. But that's what they had to do. And for whatever reason, they got really tired doing it.
Well, they did it for 10 hours.
But
what was cool is when they showed the workers, how they all walked
from the opening scene.
It's so, this movie's brilliant. Again, yeah. I get it if you don't want to watch it, but I do recommend it if you want to know about film. This is a smart movie. It's beautiful. I can't believe the stuff they pulled off. And I am shocked that it did poorly, because I would have thought that the crowds in the 20s seeing this on the screen would have shit their pants like we did when we saw Star Wars.
You know what? You know? I think they did, but I think the problem was it was too damn long. Yeah. And I was thinking...
I'll give them that.
Until I found out that it failed at the box office, I was just always under the assumption that this thing was such a huge hit worldwide. Yes. And I'm like, they must have just been really hungry for film. And this was new. Like you said, Star Wars. But to find out that it failed, I was like, of course it failed once I found out how long the goddamn thing was at the theater. And I'm still not sure how long it was. I'm assuming it had to
be. We still don't know.
3 hours. There is something interesting here. I want to read this out real quick. Much to Fritz Lang's dismay, Adolf Hitler and Joseph Goebbels were big fans of the film.
Oh, I bet they were.
Yeah. Goebbels met with Lang and told him that he could be made an honorary Aryan despite his Jewish background. Goebbels told Mr. Lang, "We decide who is Jewish and who is not." Lang left for Paris that very night.
Good for Lang. Holy crap.
I had no idea Fritz Lang was Jewish.
I didn't either. But holy shit.
I had no idea.
That's, of course, Goebbels and Hitler loved the movie. Of course they did. And we'll make you an honorary Aryan because we decide. That sounds about right. I'm glad he got away.
That would fucking terrify me. That would fucking terrify me.
Wow.
And Goebbels needed a bullet in his head, but that's a whole other subject.
Wow. Wow, dude.
It says here, unemployment and inflation were so bad in Germany at the time that the producers had no trouble finding 500 children to film the flooding sequences. They said they had over 6,000 extras in this.
I believe.
Oh, this is saying 4,000.
Yeah, there's a lot of extras in this.
The thing that I watched last night said they had like 6,000. So somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000 people probably. Just extras wandering around and running for their life. Oh my God, that's crazy.
This is a
classic. I'm glad you wanted to watch it.
I am too. Like I said, I won't be picking very many more silent films just because they are, I'm sorry, they're a hard watch.
There's a few that I think you'll like.
Nosferatu was good, but again, I struggle with it. So yeah, but it's I want the talkies, David. I want the talkies, but this is definitely
one that we've got to watch. We've got to watch.
And we'll do it. We will do it. Whatever it is. What is it?
Wings.
It's
the one with the trail.
Yes, we will be watching that. Absolutely. I have no problem with that.
And I just want to watch more. But yeah.
Yes.
We can wait a month or so.
Yeah, we'll wait a bit.
This was a tough one. And folks, I don't mean to say it was tough as in, I don't know, physically, mentally. I was having a hard time getting into it until I started getting into it. And the minute I was like, holy crap, look at that. Holy crap. Oh, this guy's the good guy. Oh, who's this guy? They had this villain that was a hitman. He looked...
Oh, he's great. He's great, man.
He could kill people by...
Yeah, they called him the Thin Man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was... He looked the part. Let me just say, this guy looked the part of an assassin. And I was, and he winds up telling the one guy, yeah, you know, your son's down there. Yeah, you're flooding the city. You just blew up your machinery. oh, by the way, you know where your son is? Down there with the work that you're trying to kill. And the dad freaks out. Like, it's the only person he's got.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
Yeah. So it takes his dad that long to realize, you know.
They actually love the son.
This movie, I watched this and I wanted to sit down and write the screenplay for it.
Yeah.
I wanted to write a screenplay based on this. I
was
think
looking
it's
at this movie last night,
it's brilliant.
Same type of thing like this. I would hate to see a remake per se.
No, because this story is done so many times. The last time I remember is Elysium with Matt
right.
Damon.
Right.
So that's this whole setup is always done in video games and movies. You have the class right. below keeping the rich rich. It's
and you
it's
know
a,
where they get it now.
Yeah, and this movie sets it up. So we watched a rom com that set up the rom coms. We just watched a sci fi movie that sets up all the sci fi or futuristic
all,
dystopian.
All sci fi, I would say all dystopian sci fi up to
dystopian.
1977.
Yes. Yes.
When Star Wars came out and was like, that's not sci-fi. This is sci-fi. This is
yeah.
hopeful.
Yes.
And that's really changed everything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, up until then, you had Planet of the Apes. You had Soylent Green. You had, I'm trying to think of, there was another.
A lot of dystopian movies. Yeah. yeah. And they still are. There's because the reason they work is because what you said early on. It's relevant to now.
Always
and that's a shame.
You would think that the good people would finally get fed up with it and just take out the trash finally. And I think one day that's got to happen. If we want to go forward as a people, and I mean
we
that
the
humanity, the rest of the garbage has just got to be taken out. And we got to be the ugly people. I mean, there's an old saying, and it's kind of an old recognition, I should say. God never chooses the nice people to lead his people. He always chooses the bastard. Moses was a bastard. He was chosen by God because he was a bastard and he'd get the job done. King David was chosen by God because he was a bastard. He'd get the job done. Just saying, sometimes you gotta be a bastard.
Well, yeah, take a look at all the saints. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
What saint was a nice guy? None of them.
They
nice
all have
saint.
Issues.
they all had some minor issues, all I'm saying. And
some
that's
minor,
not
some
taking
huge.
Away from their greatness.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes you got to look at the bastard and go, I got to follow the bastard for a while. This
yep.
is sort of good. I've been trying to follow the guys who say they're the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Look what got us.
And there you are. There you are. So this movie is a great, and I do mean great. It deserves any praise it gets. The acting is fine. It's just a shame because we can't hear the actors. And, you know, that's just because of technology. I always thought it'd be.
It would have been in German anyway.
It's fine. I still would love to hear them. But. Part of me also wants to take this movie and edit it down to an hour and a half and go in and record voiceovers.
Yeah, right?
I want to go dub it. And fully sound it and stuff.
Yeah, there is my son. Your son is with the Vekas.
Oh, my
Why
God.
Why is my son with the Vekas? You sent him down there.
Maybe I should just do one scene and you and I can do the voices.
I get
you
to
can
do Maria.
Maria. Yes.
Hello. I'll do it with a French accent. I would speak with Maria with a French accent.
Yeah, because why not? Why not?
Frederer.
Yeah.
What kind of name is Frederer?
I know. I don't know.
It's
not as good as Jehoshaphat.
The names are odd. But Jehoshaphat is in the Bible again. So
another biblical reference. I know. So is Joseph. So is Mary.
I was trying to figure out.
Frederer, Saint Frederer, the patron saint of spinach, I think.
The good thing is, there is a scene that I'm glad they did, they set up. There's a scene towards the end, and then I'll try and stop. I'll try and stop talking. Where Fred Arrear has to run to Maria. He's trying to find Maria. The gang has got Maria. They're gonna. Do we want to ruin this?
No, I don't want to ruin it.
I'll just say the gang's got Maria. They're gonna do something bad to her, and he's running. I mean, this guy is fucking running. He's fighting at one point. He's hitting people, and I'm like, this guy's really a badass. He's just beating the shit out of people. Oh, he's got hit on the head. Okay. But I'm watching this guy, and initially I'm like, this guy should be, how the hell is he still running? But they show in the very beginning of the movie.
Yes, thank you.
Athlete, not just an athlete, but he is like Olympic level athletic. Even for the time, I'm sorry, that was real athletics back then. You didn't have spongy fucking shit to run on for speed. This guy was an athlete. They show him running. They show him, like, I think they show him throwing the javelin.
They sure do. I completely let that go and thought, well, that was just showing the rich and their excess with all their sports and Olympic.
Which it was. Like
the Romans with their games.
Which it was, but it also sets him up later on to show that he can actually do the stuff that he's doing. And I was like, that is what's missing in so much storytelling nowadays.
Yes.
You know, they talk about the Mary Sues that just, I'm the greatest ever.
And we need to see how you got that.
And they never explain how the person got to be that.
Right. Like at least in Chopping Mall, the girl's dad was a Marine. So that meant she could shoot. Sorry.
You know how to shoot. My dad was a Marine.
But at least, you know, I made a joke, but it's, you know what? I made a joke, but it's true. At least it set up and gave an explanation for why, even though it was ridiculous, it went there instead of, they were just, hey, I can do it.
you had to take it for granted that the dad showed her how to shoot.
Yes.
You know?
At least the setup was there.
The setup is kind of there, right. But yeah, it's a good movie. It does everything that you need it to do to set it up.
It does.
There are chunks of it missing. I think even today, there are chunks of this motion picture.
It feels that way. Because there's a spot where it stops and you start getting big title cards, and it's like, what's happening? And then there's like a time jump.
And it's telling you what you're missing in the title card.
Yeah.
Which is good, because you're like, how do you even know what's missing?
I don't know how they would know what's missing. So, yeah. I don't know.
But I would like to watch the 4-hour one next. That's going to be my...
Oh, Lord, you're on your own.
I'm going to do that in increments. If I do, if I ever do it, I'll let you know.
You are on your own, brother.
If it's worth watching. It's a good movie. It's Fritz Lang. This guy, he did so much stuff. I think he did a couple of horror movies too. For the German gothic, whatever the hell they call it, vibe that he did. He did, I think he's the one who did The Streets, where this monster or this devil thing is moving and all the buildings are crooked. Everything's like sideways to give you a sense of unbalance throughout the story. And then again, whenever people are talking normal, everything's up straight. Like in Frankenstein, you went into Frankenstein's castle, everything was kind of Batman tilt. You know, whatever. It's got a name for it, but I forgot.
Dutch angle.
The Dutch angle.
But I'm not sure why.
That just sounds dirty.
It does. Like a Dirty Sanchez, only different.
That just sounds dirty. I don't think too much about that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But yeah, Fritz Lang, man. I'm going to have to try and dig this cat up and read a little bit more about him. I need to find a book on this movie.
I would love to see if there's a documentary or something on out there. This was fascinating to me. This one of my favorite and hardest movies to watch. So, because I said, it just leaves such an impression. The effects alone, the miniature work, the special in-camera effects, it is so ahead of its time.
That transformation and the electrical shocks and the
so
stuff
good.
Blowing up.
It's dude, I was wondering how they were getting that so well. It wasn't drawn on. It's like, did they really have Tesla coils going?
But there's a thing that I was reading that's like, they didn't have that kind of stuff. It's all in camera.
And that's amazing.
It's amazing. That in camera.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. The guy when he's on the TV.
He's like, oh, dude, they had video conferencing, 1927, a video call, FaceTime. So what the hell?
Tell me we are where we're supposed to be technologically. Bullshit. That's all I'm saying. My conspiracy theories out there, calling bullshit on this. We should have the flying cars.
Yeah, we should. We should have a lot of things. Something happened. Anyway. That's another podcast. Anyway.
Now that I'm in my underground.
So definitely, my take, watch Metropolis. You'll be better for it.
Watch Metropolis. You will be better for it. And anything by Fritz Lang, I think, is good. It's going to be
absolutely good.
I'm going to look up some more stuff from him. I think I've underrated him.
Yes.
I knew him, but I've never really studied him. Now I'm going to study him.
Absolutely. So, folks, if you like what you see or hear, hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe, and drop us a line. Send us an email. Give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. Tell us if you want us to talk about anything old, because we are keeping it old at Old Ass Movie Reviews. Catch you next week.